The Bible says this, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. And when he saw them walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight, thankful to be in this place, the good spirit in the place, Lord, the singing, Lord, the testimonies. We thank you for it, and just glad to be amongst these people here tonight. Lord, I come to you. I need the touch of God. Give me some unction to preach tonight. Help me, Lord, to effectively communicate the word of God. Use us tonight, we pray. We appreciate you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach on this tonight. I want to preach on keep rowing. Keep rowing. I went and I was studying today, and the Lord just led us here. What I believe is where I'm supposed to be. I thought about this morning as we preached about keep going and how in the will of God we're going to run into opposition from others. How other people can affect us and keep us out of the will of God or move us, and how we're to keep going. But I want to find another example here tonight about not necessarily how others can get in our way and things, but how circumstances and seasons may change in our lives, that storms may come. At least right now, this is fresh on everybody. Storm is a fresh word. I mean, everybody is, it ain't been very long. Some of you all have experienced more from it than we did. I mean, we lost power for a little bit, but by the time I got home from work, I didn't have lost it at the office. Ours was back on, and I haven't experienced anything except a very muddy yard, but that's watered my foot-high grass, so we can say praise God for that. But I'm thinking about the damage, the things that we look and we saw, and how in ways when we look out and see these physical things, at times that's how we feel emotionally. That's how we feel internally. I mean, when I was driving home Tuesday afternoon, I think that's when it was, I was coming by Montrose, and right under the underpass, I watched a DOH worker pull a trampoline off the interstate. There wasn't even a house near there. And he wasn't playing. He was pulling a full-size trampoline, and I think I looked around at the poles. I mean, the one down here didn't get the tutors, thank God. I mean, and nobody was hurt. Praise the Lord, nobody was hurt. But I think there were signs and trees. And even this morning as we drove up through here, I hadn't been up this way since it had happened. And you see all these things happening. But as we look out and see those kind of things, there's times in our lives where that's how we feel on the inside. That's the way we feel like our lives is. I mean, and maybe it's a perfect timing for that, but I want you to notice this. As we come to verse 45, we have just, Jesus has just fed 5,000 plus the women and children, which we don't know how many. I mean, thousands of people that had been fed, and the people are still in the midst, okay? I want you to grasp this. They're still in the midst, and Jesus is speaking to his disciples in verse 45. While all these people around, he says, listen, he says, I want you to get in the boat, and I want you to go to the other side to Bethsaida. That's what he tells them to do. And I want to look at these things here for a minute. I want you to notice a few things about this. In verse 45, straightway, it means immediately. And he immediately constrained his disciples. He commanded them to get into the ship, to go into Bethsaida, and then he sent them away, and he headed to the mountain to pray. And notice when we see there in verse number 47, even had come, which is the time of sunset. That means darkness had come out. The ship was in the midst of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. And I want to look at a few things about this, about the will of God. Now, here's what I want you to see. To kind of set the scene here, they had just saw the multitude of people being fed. And this could be, I don't have a scripture that says it isn't, but they potentially could be holding the baskets of fragments while he tells them to get to the other side. If you read the verse number 43, it says, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000. They literally could have been holding the leftovers in their hand when he said, I want you all to go to the other side. I want you to see this picture. They just watched God do a mighty work. He just did I'm talking about with just a tiny little bit. He fed over 5,000, maybe 10,000. We don't know how many total. God Eden was full. And they had leftover baskets they were carrying around from the blessing of God. And I want you to grasp this in your mind. And then Jesus says, I want y'all to go to the other side. What do you think they did? They said, well, absolutely. Now, later on, we're going to see that what they saw him do didn't stay long with them. If we keep reading. But I think about this. Think about this scene for a minute. And he says, I want y'all to go to the other side. The disciples were obedient. I want y'all to grasp this picture. And I don't know why this is where I'm at, but somebody's got to have this because that's just two messages in a row. Listen, they were exactly where they were supposed to be. Exactly. Jesus, God himself, had just given the word. And what they were doing, they were in the will of God and they were following the word that was given by Jesus. Now, I want you to notice this. God provided where to go, how to go, and the path to get there. Can I say something about the will of God? It ain't blind. Amen. Amen. Now, we may not know everything about the next step of the next day, but we have enough things, listen to me, to navigate in the will of God. When we don't necessarily know what the next step is, we need to stay in the place we already know the will of God is. Listen to me. If you don't know what that next big decision is, listen to me, the will of God's to pray about it. Stay praying. And if you don't know what that next decision is, listen, that's not the time to get out of church. You need to be coming to church. You need to be in the Word of God. There's some things that we already know is the will of God. I may not know what tomorrow is going to bring or what tomorrow may hold, but I do know, listen, if I don't have anything about going forward, I know the things that I'm supposed to be doing right now. But I want you to grasp this, that God provided them where to go. He told them the place. He said, this is where I want you to go. I want you to go to the other side, to Bethsaida. And from the way that I understand, this really would not have been that long of a trip. It wasn't as if, from the basis of where I can grasp is, it wasn't that it was going to be a long trip. And notice, it was already getting late when they were going, and nobody said, well, Lord, it's going to be dark in a minute. I mean, these are, we're talking, they had some fishermen on it. Now, there were some tax collectors, there was guys that worked in payroll. I'm sure they was uncomfortable on a boat. I would have been. That's not necessarily something I enjoy, but there was enough guys on there that they lived their lives out there. They probably thought, well, sure, Lord, we'll just go. We'll be there in a minute. No big deal. He showed them where to go. He showed them how to go. He said, get in the ship. Y'all seeing these directions right here? He's giving them directions on what to do here. He said, get in the ship. And he said, here's the path. He said, I want you to cross over to the other side. They were to go over the water. They wanted to walk around. They were to get on the water and go. Now, here's the thing about the will of God. Our lives should center around that. And when our lives are not centered around the will of God, they're off center. We're not in the right. As a child of God, the most important thing about our lives is the will of God. That's where we are to live and supposed to live. And these men were there. And I want you to grasp this for a minute. They were doing everything they were supposed to do at this moment. Everything they knew to do. That's what they were doing. Y'all with me on that? I want you to get this. Because what we see coming on isn't necessarily what you would expect. But as we come to verse number 48... things have changed. Jesus saw the disciples toiling and rowing, and the wind was contrary to them. And Jesus walked by around the fourth watch of the night. Now, I want to talk a few things in here. They left, and it says that even was come. Now, if you notice that it says the ship was in the midst of the sea, that could denote a little bit that the storm, you can read this parallel passage over in Matthew 14, that this storm might have gotten them off of the course they thought they were going to be on. The scenario and the situation changed when they got out on the water. When they got out there, the darkness had come. It was dark out, and not only that, we can see here that there was wind, but if you read over in Matthew chapter number 14, it says that the ship was being tossed. I'm talking about, that's not the kind of boat I want to be on, right? Amen. That's not what we want to be on. And it was being tossed back and forth. And this is where they found themselves. They were in the midst of the sea. It's dark. A windstorm had come, and it was blowing against them, contrary to the path they were trying to go, but they were still in the will of God. Still in the center of God's will. Being obedient. And I want to grasp and look at a few things out of here. Now, this ship, when I say the word ship, I mean, when I say ship, that to me is not nowadays. That's like when we're going on a cruise ship, right? You know, it's got big buffets and all those kind of things. It's real big, you know. But that's not the ship that they were getting on here. It was more like a boat. Out at the farm, my father-in-law brought us a boat. It's like I don't know, it's maybe this long, right? It's got a 250-pound weight limit. And we got a pond that, I mean, I could kick a ball over. It's 4 feet deep in the very center. But we brought that boat out there, and I had one oar, and I took one kid at a time very still, okay? You ain't moving around in this thing, or you're going to be moving over. You'll be swimming. And I'm thinking about these men. There was 12 of them. I mean, I've been on some canoes, and I've been in some kayaks, not very many, and some of you outdoorsmen can probably imagine a boat the size, but there at least had to be enough for 12 of them, and they had these oars to row. This was not a sailboat. It was not something that was going to be driven by the wind, and it wasn't just something that was going to float. They were going to have to work in this thing, as we'll see that, but I want you to grasp this picture. This ship they had, it would require rowing with oars. There was work in the will of God. Y'all see that? There was work to stay and do God's will. Listen to me. We want to get in God's will and stay in God's will, but it ain't a microwave. You don't just push a button and all of a sudden a message pops out to preach Sunday night. I wish it worked that way. But we want to see people get saved in the church. We can't just expect just to come here and not go out and invite people, not knock on doors, not send out invitations, and all of a sudden just say, well, Lord, we're here. Where's everybody at? If we could push buttons like that, we'd done been pushing all of them. But there's work in the will of God. We got to work. I know that's not a bad word. There's a work to serving the Lord. We got to work as a church. We got work individually. And God has, y'all think about this. I mean, it's hard to tell the counties where people were born in and where they lived in and where they grew up in and all the different things about life. And God has so woven and knit us together here at Roxalana for a purpose. He's got a purpose for every one of us, and the purpose all goes together so that we can do His will in this place. You realize we're setting in God's will right here. We're setting where there's enough testimony and I wouldn't even hear for most of it, but how the lands were acquired. Think about that. I mean, just the stories can go on about what God did to get us into this place. Not for just our comfort, but that we could work and serve Him. But I want you to see they're in the will of God. But in the will of God, the circumstances around them had changed. A storm came in. What was going on around them was darkness and wind. They were fighting against them all the while they were in God's will. There was a striving going on out on this sea. And thinking about, as Mark testified, about how dark it got. I mean, it's one thing to be in a storm. We were in our building when all this took place. And I was watching. You know, you're not really supposed to stand by the windows, but that's what we all did. We stood by the windows. State government for you, right? We're all standing by the windows, and we could see the clouds coming. And I was just, you know, we were all just talking, sitting there, and then all of a sudden, I mean, it wasn't just a minute. All of a sudden, it just whoosh. I mean, it was right up on the building. You couldn't see a thing. Now, it wasn't dark. It was just full of rain, and the winds had come in. But thinking about how you're trying to make this trip and even being skilled in this, but how darkness will fight against you. It's hard to see in the dark. Hard to see where you're going, the navigation of going. But not only that, then you have the winds that are going against you, contrary to the route that you're trying to go. There's a striving there. There's a friction there. May I say, in the will of God, we can't expect things just to be easy. There's going to be a friction. There's going to be a friction with society. We don't believe what they believe. If they believed like we did, we wouldn't have to stand up outside on an abortion clinic up in Charleston. We wouldn't have to sign petitions for laws that let opposite genders in the other gender's bathroom. And people say that's all right. There's already a friction. There's a striving. We're trying to serve God, and there's things that is contrary to us. And I want you to see this picture. They're out trying to do what Jesus told them to do. That's what they were doing in God's will. But there was a striving. And may I say, we cannot allow the circumstances around us to keep us from serving the Lord. Y'all notice, I want you to see this. Well, I'll get to the point of that message, but I want you to grasp this. They were rowing. And I want you to see that they were rowing. And notice this as we get through here. The way that I understand this is Jesus showed up in the fourth watch of the night. That meant there was three watches prior to that, okay? And I was looking at what time that is, and even starts at 6 p.m., and the first watch of the night is from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., okay? That's the first watch. And then the second watch is from 9 p.m. to midnight. And the third watch is from midnight to 3 p.m., and the fourth watch is from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., okay? Now, what's a.m., there you go. You've been up that long, you're going to get it mixed up. So if they left around 6 p.m., they potentially could have been on that water in that storm for 9 to 12 hours. Now, we just read over that and see the fourth watch of the night. But can I say something to you? When you're in the midst of the storm, you don't forget the first, second, and third watches. There's times it seems like in our lives where the storm, the things that come upon us, things we wouldn't expect. There's no inclination in the scripture that they expected that he sent them into the storm as far as it was storming when they left. But it seems to be that it came upon them unexpectedly. It didn't come unexpectedly to the Lord, but they were not expecting a storm, but they found themselves in one. Isn't it amazing that, you know, all of a sudden it can just come on? I mean, at least I wasn't expecting to hear 9 tornadoes in West Virginia. I mean, was anybody else expecting that? I mean, I knew we were supposed to get snow this week. That's what they said. That's about the limit of my weather goes. But I think about how unexpected at times our circumstances and our environment around us in the will of God can change. I mean, just like this, things can be turned upside down. But you know what we find these men doing? They were doing what they knew to do. They were rowing. They just kept doing what they already knew to do. And can I say something to you tonight? When we're in the middle of God's will and the storms are coming on, keep rowing. Keep rowing in your prayer closet. That's not the time to stop praying when things change. As Mark, he prayed in his car for all them 4 minutes. I guarantee you, if it was 4 minutes, probably felt like 4 hours the way it was going. But you kept praying. Listen to me. When we're in the midst of the will of God and the things around us are chaotic, we're living in chaotic times, crazy times. And all these things that we can go on, listen to me, we need to keep rowing. We need to keep going. You know what they were saying? They were not giving up. They were not going to be moved away or moved out of God's will. They said, we're going to stay with the Word of God. Listen to me, child of God. In the middle of the storm, when your circumstances have changed, you say, what do I need to do? You need to keep rowing. You need to keep doing the thing that God told you to do. Listen, they were rowing. You know what we need to do? We need to stay with the Bible. We don't need to change in days of chaos and in moments. We need to stay in the Word of God. We need to stay in the prayer closet. Hey, we need to stay in church. Hey, when your life gets upside down, you need to be in church more than anywhere else. That's not the time to turn away. You need to be here. I'm telling you, I personally will testify to you need to be in this place. But they were rowing. It seems so simple. But I want you to think about this. They could have been rowing for 9 to 12 hours.
Now, me on the boat with one little oar and a 40-pound child each at their own time, in a tiny pond and a perfect sunny day, was really not much work. All I wanted to do was not get wet and just float around. That's it. I've watched some of those college rowing teams, and they get in them long boats, and I mean, you know, they'll row forever and they'll just keep on rowing. Can you imagine the endurance and the effort that they exerted to keep trying to get to the other side? Can I say something to you? In the midst of it, we may get wore out. There's no doubt. That was exhausting. I'm sure we might get wet. Don't think if we're going to go through a storm that we may not feel the effects of the storm. I mean, I'm sure their hair was all messed up. I'm sure their clothes had got, when the ship was tossing to and fro like that, I'm sure water was hitting the sides and coming up and coming over. And they kept rowing. I'm sure we may feel the effects of the storm. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that being in the will of God's easy. I'm preaching the same thing I preached this morning to a degree. Listen, you're going to feel that thing. But he's worth keep rowing. He's worth to keep rowing. The simple thing they did for almost potentially 9 to 12 hours, they were just rowing to be in God's will. Serving God ain't always easy. And it's going to require, you know what the will of God requires of us? All of us. All of me, Judy. Paul says in Romans chapter number 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, that living sacrifice in the Old Testament, if you read about that in the Old Testament, they killed the sacrifice and they put it on the altar. Paul's saying, in essence, what he's saying right here is we need to die to ourselves and lay ourselves down. That's what that picture of. And that's the reasonable thing to do. That's not an unreasonable request for us to give the Lord all that we have. But I want you to see this, how long they were giving their all. And I want to encourage you. There's some encouragement in here. But if we preach these things and just like this, I mean, I go back to when my mom gets sick, and I don't want to beat a broken horse, but that was a pretty traumatic time in my life. I've never experienced anything like that. I mean, my dad had a brain tumor when I was younger, but I was too young to really understand some of the things. We had a bad car wreck, but I was involved in it, and I really didn't understand the significance of what had went on and what all God had done until afterwards. Later on, I realized some of those things, but at a young age, I didn't. But as I watched my mom sick, and as I in that situation, we're literally not only was I helpless to be able to do there, we couldn't get down there for most of the days. It was just a very a traumatic time, and I think about how days just were long. I mean, them 17 days, literally just felt like years of my life. And I mean, I did things that was normal. I kept rowing the best that I could. I went to work. And I prayed and I read and I came to church and I tried to do the things that I could. But in the middle of those hours, listen to me, it's a real thing. You're going to feel the weight of that. You're going to feel the weight of those storms. You're going to feel them waves. You're going to feel that wind. I'm not, just come up here and say, well, you know what, just living the will of God's going to be easy. And listen, God, listen, he didn't show up till the fourth watch. That means there was 9 hours. They were in the center of his will, but they felt them waves. They felt that ship rocking. All of those things. It's a real thing. I mean, when you get in the storm, listen to me, it's real. The emotions of it are real. The devil does what the devil does, begins to talk to you. Ain't no use in praying. Ain't nothing you can do. You might as well quit. You know what? so commending to them. What an example they are. For all them hours, they kept doing it. They didn't quit. They kept rowing. I don't know if they decided to take shifts, but it says that they were rowing. I don't know if they said, well, let's just go every other row. I don't know if they were sitting in twos. They were used to going out in twos. Maybe they were sitting in twos. And they said, well, every other row, let's row for a little bit, and then we'll alternate. I don't know how they did it, but what they did is they kept rowing. And I want to encourage you in this thing is, listen to me. It may not be easy, but keep rowing. Keep rowing. Keep doing the things God has called you to do. Do what you can to stay in the will of God. Don't allow your circumstances to push you out or to get you to give up and quit. Keep rowing in the will of God. Now, we need to patiently trust the Lord. That's hard. Patience is a hard word. I don't pray for that unless I really need it, because you'll get it. And don't you dare pray for that in me either, unless you think I need it. I'm serious. Listen. But our patience grows through storms, through trials. That's how our faith grows. And you know, in the midst of these hours, I don't know what they thought, but I'm sure I know what I would have thought. I would have thought, now he told us to come out here. Now this is to me, this is how I think. So I mean, like my anxiety mind at times, like I'll get down the end of the street and I'm like, I'll think, well, do I need to turn around? Did I close the garage door? I do that every single morning. I have to watch the garage door go down. But I would start going back in my mind, and I would start thinking, now, are you guys sure? This is what I would say. I would just be thinking, I want to make sure he said that. Right? I'm not talking about in doubt. I just want to make sure he said this is where we're supposed to be. But at the same thing, they were resting in that. There's a rest in his word. There's a rest in knowing he told us to be here. Think about that. I didn't say it was easy. But he could say, the Lord told us to come out here. That's for sure. And we can trust him. We got to patiently trust. He didn't come immediately. And there were many hours before they saw the Lord. But just keep rowing. You may not see his hand working. That don't mean he's not working. He may not manifest his presence in the midst of your storm. Listen to me. That doesn't mean that he's not doing something. I'm talking about keep rowing. We can trust his word. That's what they were doing. We can trust his word. They were being obedient to the word of God. Now I want you to grasp this. The external circumstances were contrary to where they were trying to go. This makes great application in our lives. As we go out and try to serve God, we're going to run into things that are pushing up against us. Now, we already know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5 and 16, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Okay? Well, them evil days, it's talking about the enemy that's working against us. As we're here wanting to see people get saved and trying to go out and do these things, do you realize that we're going to find there's going to be a society's going to go against us. Satan's going to go against us. We're going to find self is even going to go against us. We'll find some of the biggest battles we face are internal. Nobody even knows about it. It's the storm going on the inside. We're going to face these things that are contrary to the pursuits they had. This was the goal. Jesus said, get on the other side to Bethsaida, and that's what they set their hearts to do, but they found that there were things that was contrary to them, pushing back. We should expect a pushback. Listen, I want to see people get saved. I want people to come through here, but I'm not gonna quit hanging door hangers because one person ripped it up downstairs on the sidewalk. If we're that soft, we got problems anyways. No, I'm saying next time we're gonna get them in here. We're gonna have them come all the way in on a Sunday. They can rip it up in here, that's fine, but if we got them in the church, that's one step closer. Maybe the next time we'll get them to the altar. But we need to expect pushback. We need to expect some things that are contrary to our pursuit. We want to get people saved. Well, we're going to run into people that want to do all kinds of other things with people. We're going to run into people that ain't going to care. We're going to find some kind of pushback like this, but listen to me, we got to just keep rowing. We just got to keep doing what we already know God has told us to do here. We need to keep preaching the Bible. Hey, listen, we need to keep teaching the Bible. We need to keep singing the right songs. We need to keep coming here every time that we can meet in this place. We need to faithfully attend church. You never know when someone's going to come in here. And you know what? They may be looking for a place to find God. And listen, I want them to find God right here. I want the doors to be open. I want people to be in here smiling, welcoming people. You know what? I want them to know when they come in here, this is a place where they can know and get born again. So we got to keep rowing. Serving God's not going to get easier. But notice a few things to help us. We should not expect the world to help us in our service for the Lord. We should not. There's a lot of things. Thank God for a lot of things that He does and that He's done and set us in this city. That's allowed us to go out and to do things and to reach. But look, think about getting into a 12 years being able to get into an elementary school. That's a big deal. And then opening the door for Catherine to get in a second school that's associated with this church that's able to get the gospel out to children. That is an amazing thing. Like, I mean, in the day we're living in, people get offended if you got the wrong kind of number two pencil. That's the society that we're living in. People's offended at everything, but that we can get the gospel out to the children whom we can see the devil's trying his hardest to get them first. The stuff that's going on in the schools and the things and the attacks, listen, he's doing that on purpose. He gets them at a young age, it'll be hard to turn them back. That's why they attack. That's why he attacks the young age. All confusion. Kids struggle with questions and things in their life. My kids don't even know what it is. And I hope I mean, there's times that I'll have to address things that are uncomfortable, but they're learning about things I didn't even know. I didn't even know when I was out of high school. In kindergarten, in first and second grade. This is on purpose, by the way. This is on purpose. And God's given us the opportunity to go into a place and present the gospel and to teach them the word of God. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Listen to me. We're going to run into some circumstances. We shouldn't expect the world to go for us, but listen to me, we got to keep rowing. Now I want a few things here and then I'm quitting. First thing is, he saw them. Don't miss this in this. Now he went to pray. And thank God he's still praying for the church today. He's intercessing for the church. But we need to remember in the storms of life, we need to remember in the dark times when we are in God's will that we are never out of the sight of the Lord. As dark as it was, as stormy as it was, listen to me, Mark, God knew exactly where you were. And may I say, as these men were out on the ship, maybe the course that they expected to be on and got moved off, you know what? He saw them. Through the darkness of the night, through the thickness of the storm, his eyes were on them. Can I say something to you? The devil may try to tell you nobody knows, nobody understands, but I'm telling you the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows exactly where his own are. The Bible said in Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open under their prayer. Peter quotes this again in 1 Peter 3:12. It's not too dark and no storm too great that God don't see his own. You're not in that thing alone. Now it said out there, if you read that passage of scripture, that they were in the midst there. Let me flip back over here. That they were in the midst, even in the midst of the land, and he alone was on the land. They were by themselves, but he saw them. That encourages me. He sees us in the midst of it. He saw them toiling. Praise God. He said, he loved them men. And he looked down from that mountain he was on. He said, they're still getting at it. They're still getting at it. They're still going, giving it all they got. They're fighting against that thing, but they're still getting at it. And I want you to realize the devil wants you to think that God's forgotten you. He wants you to think that here you are serving the Lord and all these things come on and the devil wants you to say, you know what, you just need to quit and give up. Can I encourage you? He sees right where you're at. Just keep rowing. Just keep rowing. Notice this, it says, he cometh unto them. We need to remember in the storms of life, in the dark times when we can't see clearly, and when the circumstances around us have changed, that we ain't out of the reach of Jesus. They weren't out too far that he couldn't reach where they were. By the way, he walked out to them. Just took us. You think about it. Nobody's walked on the water except Peter and Jesus that we ever have record of. That's it. Okay? And he wasn't just walking out when the seas were calm. He was walking out in the midst of the storm. You realize that he's above those things and he can come right. You say, preacher, you don't know where I'm at. You don't know how I'm struggling. I'm telling you, there ain't a place that you can't reach that he can't reach you. Amen. He came right to where they are in the midst of the hour. All that's going on, their boat's being tossed. They're getting wet and the waves are going, and here's Jesus just walking. Let me say something to you. When it begins to rain and storm, people don't walk for shelter, they run. Unless you're God. And you just walk right on through it. Because he ain't scared of what's going to take place. He's in total control. Listen to me. In the middle of the will of God, as you're struggling, remember he can reach right where you're at. When the doctors say there ain't no hope, listen, until God says there's no hope, there's hope. I can't stand up here and tell you, listen to me, I can't stand up here and tell you that he'll always calm your storm. You may have to go through that thing all the way to the other side. I can't stand up here and tell you it's always going to work out the way you want it to. I wish I could. But I can tell you that wherever you're at, you're not out of his reach. And he said, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. You know what we need to really remember? We've been teaching downstairs in Genesis, and our class will probably tell you I've been down there for 5 years, it seems like. But we've been down there a year and a half. We're in Joseph right now. We're about chapter number 39. That's what we were going to start Wednesday. But as I've come through this book, personally for me, what I've grasped out of this is the principles that how we need to remind ourselves regularly of the promises of God. As I've looked back, how many times in these chapters throughout the patriarchs, from Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob, to even Joseph, how God would either remind them of the covenant that he made, or that they would remind God in prayer of the covenant that he made. But back and forth, continually, you'll keep reading. You say, why is it in there so many times? You know why? Because we need to be reminded regularly. At the end of this passage right here, you'll read, they just held baskets of thousands of people getting fed. They held the leftovers. But this storm got them tore up. Because it says, for they considered not the miracles of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Listen to me. If these 12, really 11, being that close to Jesus every day, can be hardened seeing what they saw, how much more you and I need to remind ourselves of the promises of God. You know what made the difference in the storm? Now, I know he ended the storm, and I'm going to finish on that. But the difference in them was his presence. And I'm glad for this. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 13:5, if you ain't got this down, you need to get this down. Listen, if you may say, well, I can't memorize things, this is a verse you need to work on, because this will help you. For he has said, Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There ain't a place you go, he ain't with you. Now, he didn't manifest his presence to them until the fourth watch of the night. But I'm glad for this. I may not always feel him. I like when God moves. I like it. I like when I see him and I know he's in a situation and I can see him do things. I say, praise God, I like that. But listen, whether I see that or not, whether I feel anything, I like the feeling, but feelings they just go up and down. They can go all kinds of things with your feelings. But I got a promise right here. Whether I feel it, whether I see it, or whatever it may be, he said, I'm with you, and I'm not leaving. And we need to remind ourselves the difference. You say, well, I don't feel him in this thing. Can I say something to you? If you'll just start reciting that verse to yourself and remember that he's with you in the middle of your storm, it'll change you. It'll change you. His promises are to change us. At times he does change the circumstance, and as we see here, before he stopped the storm, he stopped the storm inside of them. You notice that? Until he got on the boat, when it says when he got on the boat there, that then the storm ceased, the wind ceased. But he said, be not afraid. It is I. His presence makes the difference. When the devil's discouraging you, when you're feeling all the way that internally, all these wonders and worries and all these things, these are real things. And I can't really communicate it, but if you've been in the middle of it, you know how it feels. And it's weighty and it's heavy and you're just worried and all this kind of stuff. Something that can help you is reminding yourself of the promise of his presence is with you. They weren't alone, and we ain't alone either. And notice it says he went into the ship and the wind ceased. Something we need to remember in the midst of the storms, he's in total control. He's in total control. I've preached that from this pulpit many times. You say, why you keep preaching it? We need to remind ourselves he's in total control. They did what they could do. They kept rowing. When you're in the will of God, come on, Judy, I'm done. When you're in the will of God and you're striving, and all the things turn, and everything goes crazy and goes haywire, and things come that wasn't expected, and things are going, listen to me, keep rowing. You know what they did when they started out? They were rowing. That's what they were doing. They were rowing. They were rowing to the other side. And what did they do when the storm came? They kept rowing. Keep rowing in the pages of Scripture. I'm telling you, the essentials of the Word of God, we're going to get in. The will of God is tied to the Word of God. Keep rowing in the Scriptures. Keep rowing in prayer. Don't stop praying. Don't change your prayer life for worse. Maybe even be the hours that you start praying more. But listen, keep rowing in prayer. Keep rowing in the house of God. I've sat here. Let's be real, totally honest. I've been in church my whole life. My dad's been a pastor since I was 7 or 8 years old. Okay, 30-some, almost 30 years. I know exactly how to come in here and church. Say what you want, that's what it is. You can sit behind. I know how to smile, and I know how to stand, and I know how to sing, and I know to tell you I'm doing well, and I'm doing good. But I've sat there, and I've sat in seats where I felt the storm. Inside, I felt the waves hitting me, Steve. I felt the wind blowing on me. I felt the weight of whatever it may be I'm going through. But I'm telling you something, we can come in here and do that, but we can also come in here and be real. I'm glad for a place where we can come in. I'm glad for this place that we can come in here. And we got a refuge. We got a group of people that's willing to pray for us and love on us. I'm telling you something, you just, until you get into it, you don't understand how the love of God just helps somebody. But in the hours and the things that we face, as all of it's going through us, the greatest thing that we can do is to keep rowing. Come here and worship. And that's hard sometimes. We may not always, listen to me, and I'm ending on this, we may not always be the best we can be, but we can always give the best that we can. Micah plays video games, and they play video games, and a lot of times there's an energy bar in the top corner. And when you start a level, the energy bar is full. But there's times when you're playing that energy bar gets a little bit low. And what that means is it's not full. It's not all that you can be, but you have all that you are. And you can keep going and keep rowing through that. Keep rowing through the storms. The will of God's worth it. The will of God is worth it. Keep rowing. Stay with it. Don't give up when it gets difficult. Keep rowing in prayer. Keep rowing in the Word of God. Keep rowing in the house of God. Keep rowing.